Well, man, it was so good worshiping this morning. My wife looked over to me just as I was getting ready to come up here and was like, oh, can we just like keep singing? And I was like, thanks. I got to talk next. So, it's so good just worshiping, celebrating who God is, what he's doing. Thank you so much for just hearing what God's doing in the Horn's life. Thank you for sharing. Brady, thanks for sharing this morning. And we even have another one that's going to be coming up after this. This morning is going to be a little bit more brief as far as a preaching. We have another testimony that's going to be coming up, but it will actually tie right into what I'm saying. And so this morning, if you're just joining us, we're going through a series on Psalm 23, talking about being shepherded by God. And like Brady was talking about, for some of you, you're going, okay, I know that here, but man, that's so hard to live here and actually day to day live being shepherded by God. And if you can relate with that at all, this morning will be something that will hopefully provide some help for that. So this morning, one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to actually read through Psalm 23 to you. And instead of standing, I would like you to actually stay seated. Now, some of you may need to close your eyes. And what I'd like you to do is envision the imagery that David is trying to portray. He's trying to give agricultural terms to talk about this shepherd and what he's like and how he provides for David and how he shepherds him, speaking specifically of how God shepherds him. So when I read through this time, I'd like you to close your eyes and imagine a shepherd out in a field doing the things that he's mentioning. Maybe for some of you, that's a little bit harder to do, and the words are going to be behind me if you need to read along with me for imagery. Sometimes that helps some people. So I'd encourage you to try to picture in your head a shepherd shepherding sheep. And one of the things that I want you to listen for is this. The premise that I'm going to be building this morning is that the Lord is both the satisfying source and trusted guide to rest. And specifically, we're going to be looking at Psalm 32 or 23, verse 3, where he says, he leads me beside still waters. We'll talk about that. And what does that mean? So I'm going to read through this text. And if you need to, close your eyes or follow along with me on the slides behind me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Were you able to picture a shepherd out walking through the pasture, shepherding sheep, guiding them as they're trustingly following him along and doing the things that he's asking them to do, sometimes lay down. Last week, we talked about this idea that he makes me lie down. It was kind of interesting. I ran into somebody that actually teaches ag, and one of the things that they studied was ruminant studies in college. And sheep are an animal that ruminates. They, in order for them to digest and actually live, they have to stop eating, lay down, rest, so that their body can actually digest. They can actually eat themselves to death. Rest is imperative for sheep. Has to happen. They don't do it on their own always. So it requires a good shepherd to do this. Were you able to visualize those aspects of a shepherd bringing rest for a sheep in the care that he provides so that they can lay down? The thing that we're going to talk about right now is the fact that he leads me beside still waters. And what does that mean? What was David imagining and picturing in his head? Well, again, the premise that I want to build on this morning is that the Lord is both the satisfying source and trusted guide to rest. Well, that really brings a question to me. If he's the sole source and he's a satisfying source for me to find this rest, my question would be, well, how is it that I too can enjoy the rest that only comes from him and is indeed him? How do I get that? Don't you want that? Don't you want rest deep down? When I read through, Jesus even talks about this concept of rest, and he says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." You ever felt that way? Heavy laden. Maybe it's from work. Maybe it's from other demands that are on you from life or from family, or maybe the job that you have going on. There's heavy burdens that Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And we go, "Yeah, that sounds good. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Don't you love that? Love that thought of, man, I can actually find rest from this person. But then the next verse comes. And the next verse says this, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I don't know if you have ever read through that passage and been like, I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but I feel like sometimes when you walk into the classroom, maybe it's in college or in high school, and you sit down in the seat, and all of a sudden they're like, "This is X class, this is biology," and you're walking in for chemistry, and you go, "I think I'm in the wrong classroom." But we read this, and what Jesus is saying to us is that my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and it's something that he's going to do for us and bring us rest, and you go, "That's not been my experience here in Christianity. Light burden, easy, those are not words that I would use to describe this. And rest, that's not exactly a word that I would think of either." Maybe you would feel a little bit more like what G.K. Chesterton, he's a writer from England, said that Christianity has not so much been tried and found wanting, it has been found difficult and left untried. Kind of an interesting quote by him. When it comes to experiencing the Christian life, it's marked with difficulty. Well, I come back to the question again, how is it that I enjoy this rest that is both in him and from him? I want that. I want that easy burden. Is that just something that Jesus said to us to kind of tease us forward and say, you know what, this isn't something that you can really achieve, but I want to throw something out for you to at least kind of look forward to? Or does he actually have this in mind, that something that I can actually grasp and take hold of and actually something that can change my life radically? David himself, he says, listen, when he's talking about, "You make me lay down," he's talking about images of rest. "You lead me beside still waters." He's going to be talking about a similar imagery, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. I want that. But when we're real about this, there's some different problems that we come into when we think of this rest. Sometimes I have a problem with thinking about rest. Maybe I assume that this is somehow infused or something that I absorb. I kind of like smoking meats, and the meat just sits in there. I turn it on, and meat starts smoking. It does nothing, but it absorbs the meat. And I go, man, maybe that's how rest comes to me, that I just need to kind of passively sit here and absorb something. Or maybe some of you are going, it's not so much a passive process. Maybe it's more of an active process, something that I actually have to work for. And maybe that leaves you going, man, this is all on my shoulders. This feels overwhelming and burdensome. How do I do this? How do I get this rest that's being talked about? It's easy, he says, but how do I get it? Or maybe we assume that it's something individually cultivated. He says he's my shepherd. There's very individual terms. And there's nothing really to do with the group. It's just something I have to do on my own. Or maybe some of you in here are like, you know what, I'd rather actually do this with a buddy. And I see this as something that can only happen and it's collectively cultivated. Well, let's come back to Psalm 23 before we get too far out in our wandering is this. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." To review some of the things with us, we have to understand this before we get to this concept of rest. He talks about the Lord. Yahweh is his name. And what did we learn about his name? He learned that he was going to be the one that is actively involved, and he's revealing himself in history. He's intersecting himself in the lives of the people, specifically in Israel, when he was talking to these people. He promised that he not only exists, but he's going to be the one that they should seek and is going to be the solution to the problems that they find. And David says that you're my shepherd. It's a very personal experience that he shares. And he says, man, you are my shepherd and you walk with me so faithfully. He's somebody that he could look to in difficulty and can look to for leading. And then we also talked about, I shall not want. And we discussed that was that concept that I won't lack anything. I lack nothing because of who my shepherd is. Remember, he is the source. He's the one that it comes from, this rest. And he's saying, I don't lack anything with this shepherd. When I'm attached and connected with him, that's where life is. That's where rest is. And so then we keep moving forward, and we talked about this concept of leading beside still waters. Well, just briefly, what is David talking about? Where is he talking about briefly? I'll kind of highlight the verse behind it. It says, to waters of a resting place, he guides me. It's another way to translate this verse. Sometimes we look at it and we go, still waters, and we might think of like a stream that's not moving and it's still water and the sheep are coming up, but the word still is not an adjective. It's not modifying that noun. It's actually saying it's still and water, and they're both plural. So it's resting places where there's abundant water that he's leading us to, where we can rest and we can find refreshment. And so when David is saying this, he's saying, listen, he is leading me to this place where there's abundant water and I can lay down. And so it's used in a variety of different places. It's used in Genesis 30, verse 38. He says, he set the sticks up, and this is talking about an instance a while back in Genesis. He sets the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks and the troughs. Now listen to this. That is the watering places. The still waters is that word. The watering places where the flock came to drink. And since they bred, they came there to drink. Another time we can actually see a picture of this in Genesis 29, verse 2. He says, and he looked and he saw a well in a field. Remember, a resting place with abundant water. And behold, three flocks of sheep lying beside the well. For out of that well, the flocks were watered. And so when we have this concept of what David is envisioning, is not just a single stream, maybe, that we're looking at. But the picture is more like the images behind me. On the left, it's actually a place in Israel. It's the well of Sychar. If you've read through John 4, it's the woman at the well. This most likely was that location that they came to. Jacob's well. It was a place where sheep could go and they could be watered. And so you would draw down water, and then you would be able to pour it out into a trough, and there would be a resting place after sheep had gone ahead and drank. Or maybe it's like the picture in the upper right-hand corner, and that's the Sea of Galilee. There's abundant water there where sheep can just, they can go out and they can feast on water, quench their thirst, and then they can lie down on the banks. Or maybe in the lower right, one of the streams in Dan, where it's a nice flowing stream, they can go and get clean water. Either way we look at this, water is consistently used throughout Scripture. It's a necessity for life. We know that. But again, when we come back to this, it's this concept of David saying that he guides me to a place of rest where there's abundant water and blessing. Man, and I want that. But how do I get that? Well, again, my premise is this. The Lord is both the satisfying source and the trusted guide to rest. We can see that through Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He's the one that provides this rest. But it's not just something that he does. He himself is the one that we're to seek. He's not just the satisfying source, but he's also that trusted guide, and that's the picture that David's using right now. He guides me to this place of rest where there's abundant water. Well, again, but how do I too enjoy the rest that only comes from him and is in him? I want to know that. I want to enjoy that. I want you to enjoy that. But how does this work? Because many times what happens if I don't find that, then I get frustrated in the whole process. Well, let's go back to the words of David and consider this. Where is the shepherd in this whole process? Where is the shepherd in the description of he leads me beside still waters? Where is he? Where's his position? Do you see a picture of a shepherd behind sheep cracking a whip and moving these sheep through? Is that the picture of the shepherd that he's drawing? Well, for a shepherd back in this time, this would be the image. If you see the person right up in the top, it's a shepherd. He's walking. John says that the sheep know my voice. they can hear me. And early on, we talked about that reality that when a shepherd calls, they know the shepherd's voice and they follow him. That's that picture that's going on. When he says that he leads me, David's listening. He hears where the Lord is leading and he's following. He's following like a sheep, only this is a good shepherd. He's leading him to green pastures, to still waters where he can find abundant source of food and also rest for his soul. And so when we look at this, where is the shepherd? He's leading. Well, where is he in relationship to the sheep? He's leading. A question for us this morning. If I want to enjoy this rest, to enjoy this resting place that he is taking people to, first and foremost, the question that faces us is this. Are you allowing the Lord to lead? Are you letting him lead? Are you trying to lead? Are you trying to hang on to the reins? Are you trying to take the shepherd's crook and drive yourself around? Or am I surrendering to the shepherd? Am I listening to the shepherd? Am I putting myself at his disposal? Well, what practical steps are you taking in yielding to this practice of leading? See, one of the things that I think is difficult in this whole process of rest, that's what David is talking about. He leads me beside these places of rest where there's abundant water. That's something that I want, and I know that you want. But the reality is so much of life we go, man, I don't experience that. And why? Why is that? Maybe a little illustration will help. I asked Kyle to come up here and help me, and I might even get, let's see, is Lance in here? Lance Christian, come on up. You'll have fun with this one with me too. I promise this will relate. This isn't just an excuse to get out a soccer ball. It is Women's World Cup right now. USA is doing really well. Just a little FYI. I digress. So a lot of what life, I think, when we look at what Jesus is asking us to do, he's saying that come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I go, man, I definitely want that. But see, what I think often happens is it's kind of like the illustration that I'm going to give you right now. Maybe some of you have done this. You watch kids who watch a Super Bowl or they watch a soccer game and they go, oh my goodness, I so want to go be that person. And they go out and they try to do the things that those pros are doing. Will they do it? No. They fail. Why? Well, think about this real quick. Here's the game that we're going to play. We're going to juggle. Oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be so great. We're going to juggle this ball, and the object is to get more juggles than me. But here's the rule. You can only use one foot. Okay? Got it? We may need support in the back for items in the back. I'll stand in the back to kind of watch those. Does that sound good? All right. So we'll each get one try, and it's just most wins. Okay? Does that sound good? I didn't say that. You did. Okay. We ready? Okay, so I'll set kind of a standard here. Yeah.
Oh, you cheated. Oh, now he's showing up.
There you go. All right, so I don't know how many I got, but 27 before I actually switched it. Okay. All right, so go ahead. I'm backing up here to Tristan. I value your guitar, so I'm going to surround it over here. Hey, yay! Three? All right, Lance's turn. Two! All right, now question. Before you go down, how did that feel doing that? Would you just answer that? How did that feel?
Bad.
Okay, did you understand what was expected of you?
Yeah.
So it wasn't a matter of not understanding what was expected of you, right?
Correct.
Okay. Would you say that you were at rest when you did that?
No, my heartbeat is it's too much work for me.
Okay, that could be from being around people or whatever.
Or being out of shape.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, Lance, same questions.
Terrible.
It felt terrible, yeah. Okay. Would you say that you were at rest when you did that?
No, not at all.
Okay. Hey, let's give him a hand real quick. Thank you. Okay, what's my point in doing that? Not just an excuse to play soccer. However, it was fun. And the whole point wasn't even just for me to juggle and show how much I could do, but here's the reality of things. When Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, it's actually something that I do believe he genuinely wants to give each and every one of you. But here's the deal, I have to come to him. And I have to come to him on his terms, not my terms. And that, I think, is a difficult process. I have to understand he's the Lord. He's the one that is in charge. He's the one that's leading. He is the one that's sovereign in my life. And when I come to him in that way and I said, okay, I'm going to come to you on your terms. And what does Jesus say about what his terms are? No man comes to me except through me. And it's through faith that he died on the cross for my sins. But that doesn't just change my eternity. It's something that he wants to actually start changing my life here and now, that I can start experiencing a rest that comes from knowing this person. But how does that work? How does that work out? If you were to ask me, how did I feel about juggling in front of you? How do you think I would have responded? It's just another day. Would it have been described as rest? Yeah. Actually, I was quite comfortable juggling. And many times I could sit and juggle all day. I love it. I could spend hours juggling a ball. Completely at rest. It's not effortful. That same thing is what Jesus wants to offer us. But here's the reality. It can't come by going, all right, here's a ball, now do it. That came from a long life of juggling a soccer ball, getting comfortable with that ball, bouncing it off the side of my feet, like you saw, bouncing it off the inside, doing various different things, standing on one foot, juggling with both feet, juggling off my knees, off my head, off my shoulders. All of these different things to get so comfortable with the ball that I am completely at rest with the ball. That same thing is something that Jesus wants for us. But how does that happen? It doesn't happen with us going, wow, man, look at what Jesus did. And so there was a book that was written in his steps. It was a novel about a pastor looking at a flock and saying, listen, here's what I want us to do. Before we do anything, I want us to ask one question. What would Jesus do? And I think it's a great question. But in some ways, I think it's flawed. Because if all that we're looking for is that moment in what Jesus would do, the thing that we've missed is this. We miss a life of spending time with the Father. What was his practice as a child? He would spend time with the Father. What was his practice as an adult? He spent time sneaking away from everything so he could spend time with the Father. How did he behave in those critical moments? It wasn't because he had just gone to that moment. He had a life of practice with the Father and spending time with him and meditating and understanding who he is and how does this now start working out in my life? How is it that you and I actually can have that rest and experience the leading of God? Because I want to enjoy that. And David said, he's my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lay down. He leads me beside still waters. But understand, we're looking at a snippet of his moment in saying that. Most likely this, at least in my mind, I think this was written later in David's life after he had had these experiences of standing before a giant. And how was it that he could face a giant? Because earlier in his life, he had faced bears and lions. And what did he say about that? Man, when I was there, the Lord was with me. He had these experiences to draw back from that could give him rest when he encountered new difficulties in life. Church, here's the point. He leads me. He leads us. He has to lead. We have to give him rein. We have to trust him. It's one of those things that as David got to know who God is, and my encouragement to you is this, get to know who God is. What's his character like? How does he behave? What are his works that we can look at that show us better on who he is and what he's like? As I get to know those different things, that brings me rest so that when I come to these moments and these crises of faith it's not just a moment where I'm trying to do like the kid watching a TV show and going out and acting out what the professional athlete is doing. But I've practiced this in my closet. I've practiced this one-on-one with the Lord, not when it's in front of people, so that I can actually do the muscle movements of faith and surrendering to Him and letting Him lead. This morning, I want to share with you one more testimony. And it's of a family that has learned to do this. Come on up. And this is a process. Understand that. But just wanted to share what God is doing in the life of the Courtiers. I don't know who was talking first. I think you.
Well, last week, we came up here at the end of the service and described to you the situation that we had with one of our foster babies, and we were heartbroken because this last week she went back home, and we would want to rejoice in that normally. We just didn't feel like this was the right time for her. This week, as many of you know, we've had a little guy named Finley in our home, and coincidentally enough, today is to the day, year two, that he has been with us. We're all he knows. In the last few weeks, we have been praying, Tiffany and I, something incredibly specific. And this morning, I'm just going to leave it at that, because it's not about the specific thing that was addressed. But just know that it was so unique, only the Lord could have made it happen. On Wednesday or Tuesday? Tuesday, Tiffany called me umpteen times, and I missed them all. Got a bunch of emoji smiley faces, call me, call me, call me. And I did, and she just said, you wouldn't believe what happened. Finley's, the specific prayer that we have been asking for, oh so unique, has been answered today. Mm-hmm. Two people in two different parts of the country who have no coordination whatsoever mm-hmm. called into Cheyenne and said the exact same thing. And we sat at that meeting while people were just saying, this is so unbelievable. Somebody, who talked to them? Who talked to these people? And nobody responded. And Tiffany and I were just shaking. Nobody talked to them. But the Lord moved in their heart to respond in the way they did. And so we have learned to rest in releasing things to the Lord, making a request, and waiting for Him to respond. And Tiffany will have a little bit more, I think, to add to that. But oh, so many times the learning, saying I am being led by the Lord. Lord, give me water. Lord, give me water as I'm walking. I can't take it anymore. Give me water. And I'm passing the wells. Because I'm just laser focused on something that I shouldn't be focused on. Instead of just saying, Lord, this is my request. What are you going to do with it? Because if it would have gone the other way, the Lord is my shepherd. Praise God, this time He responded to us. And He's good no matter what. But it was so fun to see this happen. It was a miracle.
I thought Josh was going to interview me, so this is a change up. But just for my response into what happened this week, I kind of went into it with the Lord is my shepherd, and He will lead me through this week. And just in regards of Bella, and I knew that He was good in that. And then just to get a surprise, we had been praying, like Tristan said, a specific prayer. And just making that request, it was always something that was on our prayer list. And so when we got the call and God answered it, it was a reminder that He does give good gifts. And I had been wrestling with, Lord, You keep asking us to bring our requests to You, and I feel like I'm just getting a lot of no's and a lot of waits and just a minutes. And it was just a tender moment between me and my Lord that He just was saying, I love you, Tiffany, and I hear you. And I love Tristan, and I love Kenley and Griffin, and I love Finley, and I love Bella. and Scarlett and Jordell and Emilio, all of those little ones I love, and I hold them in my hand, and so we can just release to him, and he is our good shepherd and walks with us.
Amen. Thank you. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up, and as they're coming up, I'd ask you to stand and let's pray. Again, my question is, are you allowing the Lord to lead? Are you trusting his time? Are you trying to take control of the circumstances? Do you trust that he's a good shepherd, that he has your best interest in mind? And when it's a no, he knows what's best. When it's a wait, he knows what's best. And we rest in that. Because, man, all of a sudden, as we grow in those experiences, understand, church, what happens. As they grow into this next situation, they have this foundation that is an aspect of rest that they can go, God, you are faithful. We can trust you. We don't know the details of this. It's going to be hard. But you've gotten us this far. We trust you. Father, pray that we would know you as the Lord. Know you as our good shepherd. God, it wouldn't be just even just our shepherd, but we would personally have that experience and say that you are my shepherd. God, that we would walk with you and be able to see and listen for your voice and follow where you lead and trust that you lead us to water. You know how far it is to the next stop, and when we're weary, you that we trust you with the distance. We trust you even at times to carry us when we don't have the strength to walk. You're a good shepherd. You care for your sheep. Father, would we live from a place of rest in your name? Amen.